Welcome to the Deep Roots at Home podcast. For those of you new here, the Deep Roots at Home website was founded by Jackie in 2011. As a retired RN, longtime homeschooler, past Lyme sufferer with a love of preventative natural medicinals, Jackie has encouraged women for years now. Our desire is to spread truth and important information during these recent deceptive times, as well as the practicals of homemaking and all things beautiful. Whether you are listening in the car, while you're making dinner for your children, or sitting with a relaxing cup of tea, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to part two, as we speak with Julie Formby about women's health and all the fun things that go with being a woman. So stay tuned.
Do you want me to go on to talking about sleep?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So something that's special about women is we need a lot more sleep than men. So just like we can't handle stress in the same way that men can, we can't handle going without sleep. men only need like 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night, and women need 8 to 10 hours. And it's important that you're in bed by 9, maybe 10 o'clock, but from the 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. window is when your hormone reserves are built up. So if you're cheating yourself on sleep at night and trying to get things done after the kids are in bed and the house is quiet, then you are not going to be making the hormones that you need to make. So it's a trade-off, and you're going to have to make a decision about that. If you find yourself waking up at like 3 a.m. in the morning, that's usually a blood sugar issue. So eat some good fats before you go to bed, just like a handful of nuts or, you know, a spoonful of coconut oil, if you can handle that, or half an avocado or something like that. Recently, I've really been talking to people about creating a sleep sanctuary, and that gives a chance for your body to detox and rebuild. And a sleep sanctuary is just basically shutting off all the EMFs that are running through your house. EMFs, you know, there's like radio frequencies and magnetic frequencies and all this kind of stuff. And these are all linked to cancers and reduced testosterone, which, believe it or not, women need testosterone. It's important for sex drive. It's important for, you know, all kinds of other things. It'll increase your cortisol if you don't turn off the EMFs. So that's your stress hormone and adrenaline. So that's going to contribute to hormone imbalance. It increases your blood-brain permeability. So you're exposed to all this junk all day that your body's trying to detox. And then you go to bed at night and you have the EMFs still running, like your Wi-Fi on and, you know, your phone next to your bed and stuff like that. You're not going to detox and do the work that you need to do when you're sleeping at night. It'll decrease your dopamine, which is your, you know, reward neurotransmitter. It reduces your immune function. It makes you more tired, causes more sleep problems, headaches, can cause cardiovascular issues, Alzheimer's, ADHD, MS, all kinds of stuff. Really bad. And I don't think that we think about it enough. So I recently had a friend who does EMF mitigation come to our house, and they measured different regions of our house and where the EMFs are the highest, and also around our sleep space, our bed. And we have like things plugged in around our bed, like lamps and things that we charge at night and stuff like that. And everything was way out of range. You know, even if nothing's turned on, everything was way out of range when they did the measurements around our bed. And so they went through and they shut off different switches in our breaker box and then remeasured it. And the EMFs were way down. So that was very convincing to me to just, they marked the breakers and we switched those off at night. So people can have somebody come do that for them, or you can just be conscious and, you know, turn everything off at night. Another thing is smart meters.
Oh, yeah.
And just those cycling and fluctuating and everything. They call it dirty electricity with that spiking. Our smart meter, I didn't know that we had one, is pretty stable, and they were actually very surprised. So I felt good about that, but it might not be a bad thing for people to measure and to just be aware of. So we turn everything off at night. It's complete pitch black in our house, and we have a flashlight in the bathroom if we have to get up and go, and use like a an alarm clock that's battery powered instead of something that's plugged in, and just, unplug your body at night so you can do the work that you need to do.
Yeah, we're so dependent on electricity and Wi-Fi and like constantly being bombarded by it that
Yeah.
getting a break from it all is a good idea.
It is. It is. And again, I haven't been the best patient. I haven't necessarily taken my own advice, and I'm being more serious about it now. I'm trying to do everything that I can to kind of restore myself after I abused myself for so long. So, another thing to think about is just having natural bedding and no metal in your bedding. So, like the spring box springs and everything that can conduct EMFs, and then you're sleeping on it. So, natural materials, undyed wool, and they're expensive mattresses, but people buy it if they want to be healthy, or if you're extremely EMF sensitive, it might be something to try. Try switching things off at night and see if it makes a difference. And, try a different bed. Hardwired connections for Wi-Fi are the best. That's something that we're considering doing for ourselves. So you actually plug in a cable to your computer like we used to have to do in the old days before Wi-Fi. We already talked a little bit about exercise with women, so I'm just going to repeat weeks 1 and 3 of your cycle. So when you're menstruating, and then when you're, after you ovulate and you're building up that menstrual uterine lining, preparing for a baby, those are the 2 weeks that you don't want to exercise super heavy. Just take it easy, do gentle exercise. And I wanted to emphasize too that having a six pack for women is bad. So hopefully that's a comfort to women, but I mean, we need body fat. We need body fat to make hormones. A woman gets too low on her body fat and she might look great, but her hormones are a mess. And that stress on the body, the constant stress on the adrenals, is not a good thing. It's going to increase testosterone. And that's good in some ways. I mean, you want testosterone and it's great for your sex drive. I mean, your husband will be super happy and he might like your six pack. But if you're wanting to have a baby, it's not going to work out very well if you're high in testosterone and low in estrogen. Yeah. Or low in progesterone, which is usually what happens. Like a lot of times, women that really stress their body, they'll be high in estrogen and high in testosterone and not have enough progesterone.
So
So then they can't carry a baby.
the other 2 weeks. What kind of exercise do you suggest?
I like.
Like, is cardio a good idea?
Yeah, you can do cardio. Weight bearing exercise is super important for just bone health and bone density. So, weight bearing exercise, I really like high intensity interval training. And I think that it's pretty effective because it gets the heart rate up and down, and it's not, your body kind of adjusts to cardio if that's all that you do. And, it's not effective after a while, but with high intensity interval training, you're shocking the body. So,
So anyhow. So more like Pilates and stretching on the week 1 and 3, and then more like high intensity interval training on weeks 2 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So do we have time to talk about some specific hormone conditions?
Absolutely.
And imbalances? Okay. So the first one I want to talk about is PMS, because okay. That seems to affect, you know, like everybody seems to think that it's kind of a normal thing. Well, it's really not. There's a lot of women who don't have PMS. They also don't have, you know, hot flashes and night sweats when they go through menopause. Like, that's not normal. It shouldn't happen. And if it does, then something is off. So we already talked about, you know, like everything that I've talked about up to this point needs to be applied. And then to further reduce inflammation for PMS, which is a big cause of PMS, where women have bloating and they just feel uncomfortable and your breasts are tender and all that kind of stuff, that can be exacerbated by gluten and by dairy. So experiment with going gluten-free or mostly grain-free and avoiding dairy. You can get cheeses that are made with goat or sheep's milk. That I think sheep's milk is just as good as cow's milk. It doesn't have that weird, funky smell like goat cheese does. I like goat cheese, but there's a lot of people that don't. It's too strong for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to have dairy, try sheep milk. And that lowers inflammation in the gut. So yeah, wherever there's inflammation, then you're going to have stress hormones going to being made to put out that inflammation, and that's being redirected away from making female hormones. So hopefully that makes sense to everybody. And then use antioxidants to help reduce inflammation. So drink green tea every single day, have some berries every single day. Dark chocolate, believe it or not, is actually really good for you. And it's okay. Just have like 2 squares of dark chocolate a day. It's high in antioxidants. It's high in magnesium. It's high in iron. So that's actually a strategy for women who are anemic, is to rebuild their iron stores through dark chocolate. Curcumin or turmeric is another anti-inflammatory, antioxidant type of supplement that people can take, or additive to their food. And then I recommend a personalized nutritional protocol. So this would be after we test your hormones and see what the balance is and see what's going on with you specifically. So I would have a woman do a 28-day female hormone test, where you can see, you know, what's happening with each hormone throughout the entire month. It also shows what your cortisol levels are, and if you're, you know, having enough cortisol to wake you up in the morning, and if it's declining enough for you to go to sleep at night, where it is in the normal range. Is it, you know, so low that you never really seem to have energy and you're always tired, or is it so high that you're all ramped up and, you know, can't settle down and can't even, you know, sit still?
Right.
That's what we want to figure out. And then, are you making enough progesterone? Are you estrogen dominant? You're going to get way more breast tenderness and stuff if you have a lot of estrogens. It's just, you know, it just makes you plumper and makes you retain water and stuff like that. So I would also have women do a food allergy test, a food sensitivity test, and avoid those specific foods. So we want to keep inflammation down as much as we can. And if you're allergic to something, it's going to cause inflammation. And then your body's going to deal with that instead of making hormones. So again, it's about reducing stress and not letting hormones be rerouted toward stress instead of sex hormones and doing the job that the female body is supposed to do. So there's a whole list of supplements. So like if you want to reduce inflammation, evening primrose oil is a good herb and supplement for that. Fish oil is good for that. If you have a lot of estrogens from that cause PMS, then you may, depending on, you know, how you test, we may want to put you on like DIM, which is basically, it helps flush out estrogens from the liver. It's based on cruciferous vegetables. That's a good thing to incorporate into the diet if you're estrogen dominant, is cruciferous vegetables. So like your broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Yes.
So DIM, you said?
Uh-huh. DIM.
Spelled D-I-M?
D-I-M. It's short for, let me see if I can pronounce it, diindolylmethane.
Okay.
Yeah. DIM. I3C is also another supplement that's similar to DIM that helps flush things out. We talked about calcium. We talked about beta glucuronidase and wanting to inhibit that in the gut because it recirculates estrogens. And there's a supplement called calcium D glucarate that helps inhibit that that beta glucuronidase. Does that make sense? And then to build healthy progesterone levels, depending on the person, again, this depends on testing, but I'm just kind of giving general principles. Chase tree is something that helps build healthy progesterone levels. Vitamin D, that's like a building block for hormones. You know, if you're low in vitamin D, you're not going to make the hormones that you need. You can also balance estrogens through chase tree, passion flower. Passion flower is pretty cool because it helps improve your ovarian function. It reduces inflammation. And then it also promotes the conversion of estrogens to a healthy form instead of to one that can be destructive to the DNA and cause cancers.
When it comes to vaccines, most mothers and fathers want to know facts, not others' opinions. Jackie wished she had known more facts when she went in for her first well baby visit. Because Jackie strongly promotes parental choice, she felt led to write a short treatise with personal facts. This vaccination ebook is pretty concise to allow you, the parent, to read, research into the studies she shares, and come up with your own decisions. Jackie's sincere desire is that you and your children thrive, and so she presents to you the vaccination ebook free of charge. Simply go to deeprootsathome.com/vital-info-ebook/. That's deeprootsathome.com/vital-info-ebook/.
Liver detox is really important for PMS. So a lot of times whenever women have hormone problems, their liver's not functioning right. There's so many conversions that take place in the liver, and detox, you know, of the water soluble form of the hormones where they're metabolized into things that can be flushed out of the body, that's done in the liver. So keeping the liver moving is really important. I usually have my clients do like a liver detox every quarter. So like as the seasons change, you know, every 3 months you do a liver detox. It's just a good milk thistle. Yes. Milk thistle, dandelion root, artichoke, red beet root, red beet leaves, ox bile, all those kinds of things help remove all that excess estrogens. If you need a mood regulator, you can try St. John's wort. You just have to be careful not to combine it with any prescriptions. It promotes serotonin, reduces pain. So it'll help with, you know, if you have heavy cramping. Magnesium will help. Magnesium is super important for the detox process, but also just for, you know, all kinds of, you know, like 200 plus body functions are
just actually reading
require magnesium
and how many things just adding a magnesium supplement to your regular protocol can make such a difference with so many different things.
Sure, sure. And there's a product that I really like. It's the Bioptimizers Magnesium Breakthrough, because it has like 7 different kinds of magnesium. A lot of the cheap magnesiums are just the kind that you like, you know, are like a laxative,
right.
make you have to go poop. Like, this feeds your brain. It feeds your, you know, circulatory system. There's one form that's really good for your muscles. There's another form that's, you know, it's good for all different
so what
types
is
of
that
things.
Called?
Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers.
I'm going to write that down and put that in the show notes. Magnesium
Breakthrough. Yeah.
By,
Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Bioptimizers.
Optimizers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I have a friend that she's had a couple kidney transplants. She can never get her magnesium levels up. And this was a form that she was, that actually made a difference in her blood.
Okay.
So, yeah. B vitamins are important, especially B6. And magnesium also helps reduce fluid retention. So that's just another benefit. The next female hormone imbalance that I wanted to talk was about PCOS. So again, you apply everything that,
So many people struggle with that.
Right. Polycystic ovarian syndrome. So this is a pretty difficult thing for people. In my training that I received years ago, I was told that PCOS is actually a pre-diabetic condition. And that makes sense, because what they frequently prescribe is metformin for women with PCOS. But what that tells us is, what is the root? The root has to do with sugar metabolism and excess sugars, keeping your blood sugar stable. So this, you know, again, apply everything that we've talked about, you know, up to the point of PMS, apply all of that, and then add these suggestions on top of it for someone with PCOS. So if you have PCOS, you're probably have a very high sex drive. A lot of times they're high in testosterone. But along with that comes facial hair. And oily skin, more acne. You could have very heavy periods, a lot of pain, because you can also be estrogen dominant. So you can have high testosterone and high estrogen, but not enough progesterone. And it's going to make it difficult for you to be able to conceive and carry a baby. But it's not irreversible. It's just a matter of getting it balanced, but it's going to take diet, lifestyle choices. These people do not want to over-exercise, because these are the people that will probably develop a six pack way easier than you or I, Abby. So,
right.
Yeah. But that's just going to cause more stress on their adrenals, and their adrenals are going to be routing everything to, you know, making cortisol and other hormones to take down the stress and the inflammation from that overexercise. So they need to take it easy. And infrared saunas, that can also help regulate hormones. That's a strategy that people can use. It helps to regulate the adrenals, the lymphatic system. And it's really effective if you take a cold shower afterwards, which I find that very hard. If I'm nice and cozy and warm, I don't really want to take a warm shower. I'd rather just like slip into bed and go to sleep. But as far as a personalized nutritional protocol for these people, glutathione or N-acetylcysteine, NAC, is super important to just assist the liver with detoxing. And that also helps improve ovulation and fertility and insulin resistance. It helps improve your lipid profiles with cholesterols. Aloe vera, that helps restore ovarian steroid levels. manage the blood sugar. So instead of metformin, golden seal is super important, or berberin is like the active component within golden seal that helps manage blood sugar. Another herb is gymnema, licorice. The only problem with licorice is this is estrogen-like. So if you already have an estrogen dominance problem, you probably don't want to add licorice. You want to use one of these other herbs that I'm talking about. Inositol, that improves insulin signaling, and cinnamon helps improve insulin sensitivity. Chromium and vanadium are two minerals that are super helpful in regulating blood sugar. Last time in the PMS section, we talked about chaste tree and vitamin D being beneficial for progesterone, healthy progesterone levels. It's the same with PCOS. Black cohosh may be helpful, but again, we want to test, because if you're high in estrogens, then black cohosh may not be the best thing for you, or Dong Quai. Maca might be better for you, or ashwagandha. Ashwagandha also helps lower cortisol, so that's important. If you want to reduce testosterone, spearmint is an herb that helps with that. Saw palmetto may be important. So one of the bad things that can happen with high testosterone is it can convert to a very powerful form called DHT. DHT is what can cause cancers. So people with prostate cancer, a lot of times they have high levels of DHT. Or in PCOS, sometimes women have thinning hair, just like male pattern baldness. And a lot of times that's as a result of DHT. It actually kills the hair follicle. So that's an important hormone to test for. And I'm going to talk about specific tests at the end for people to take and where they can find those tests. People can order those tests themselves, and we'll talk about it more later. The next hormone imbalance is fibroids or endometriosis. They're two different conditions. Fibroids are basically a benign tumor that grows in the uterus. It can be like inside the uterus, outside the uterus, or embedded in the uterine wall. It's always a result of estrogen dominance. It's very common in the Black community. My theory behind this is that Black girls tend to develop sexually much earlier. They have way more precocious puberty than girls in the white community. So I think they tend to run on the estrogen dominant side, and fibroids are a serious problem for this community. Endometriosis, I'm not sure what the statistics are for that. I would guess it would probably be higher in the Black community as well, just because of high estrogen levels. But again, apply everything that we talked about before, but you have to be much more serious about being gluten-free with these conditions. Mm-hmm. So strictly gluten-free. The reason is that gluten reduces one of these estrogen conversion pathways called the CYP3A4. There's an enzyme that is associated with that pathway, and gluten reduces that enzyme. So you have to do everything that you can to try to address estrogen dominance issues with someone who has fibroids or endometriosis. No cow's milk, but you can do the goat and sheep's milk like I talked about before. So with the other conditions, it's something that you kind of experiment with, and you may have to be more strict depending on your situation. But with endometriosis and fibroids, you have to go like all the way. You can't just do it partway. Again, antioxidants are helpful. So your curcumin, green tea, berries, dark chocolate, those types of things are important. Vigorous exercise is important for people with fibroids and endometriosis, like 3 times a week, 30 minutes, not long, stressful exercise, not over-exercising, but vigorous exercise, because that's going to increase testosterone. So that's going to help to lower estrogen and prevent, you know, excess fat, which is going to convert into estrogens also.
It is no secret that Jackie loves TRS, but some have asked exactly what is TRS? TRS is a nanozeolite spray that facilitates some amazing things. TRS does not heal anything, but it gently clears the body of toxins and heavy metals, so the body can heal itself exactly as God designed it to do. Why not get to the root cause instead of just applying band-aids? Excellent supplements and individual remedies can help, but they cannot help as much until you remove the root source of inflammation and disease. Detoxing toxins and metals is foundational to good health. TRS is safe for the elderly and for children as well. For more information, go to www.deeprootsathome.com/TRS.
It's important if you have fibroids or endometriosis to really work on weight loss. If you have extra weight that you're carrying, you got to get rid of it. And so the exercise will help, but you can just be, you know, strict on your diet too. Keto is a super important diet for people with these conditions. And it's pretty easy to lose weight on keto. I don't know anybody who doesn't lose weight when they do keto. Another strategy is to elevate your adrenals above your head every single day for 30 minutes a day. So
How do you do that?
You can do it with like, I forgot what it's called. Those tables that tip.
The inversion.
Yeah. You can do it with an inversion table, or you can just, you know, stick your butt up in the air with your belly down, like a down dog.
Okay.
In yoga, and just get your adrenals up high.
Gotcha. What does that do? I'm just curious.
It has to do with blood flow and blood pressure. So, it helps get the blood flow to the adrenals, and instead of like all the way up to your head, it's flowing up to your adrenals. Does that make sense? So people that have like adrenal issues, they tend to get lightheaded if they stand up too quickly.
Right.
But if you have your butt up in the air, you're getting blood to your head at the same time that it's being pumped up to the adrenals, instead of having to pump all the way up to your head. Does that make sense? So that can help just, you know, kind of stabilize things over time and take some of the stress off of it. Again, infrared sauna is helpful. Castor oil packs, those help draw toxins. You know, you put them over your belly and help draw toxins out of the, and excess estrogens out of that region. No coffee. It's too stressful for people in this state. It's too hard on their adrenals. Lots of good fats along with the keto diet. And then there's some specific foods that are like aromatase inhibitors and help clear out the liver. So that would be buckwheat, walnuts, Brazil nuts. We already mentioned those two nuts before. Interestingly, mushrooms, especially like white button mushrooms, lemons, natto, which is a fermented soy product. I don't recommend soy products unless they are fermented. Cruciferous vegetables. So we already mentioned those before. That's your broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts. Shallots, interestingly, contain aromatase inhibitors. And then beetroot and leaf. Not only does it dump out the liver and help cleanse, but it also has aromatase inhibitors in it. and green tea. Or people can take that supplement EGCG that we talked about earlier, that's like an extract of green tea. So some other supplements that are helpful for people with these two conditions, and again, test first, these are just general principles, is reduce the inflammation further through NAC or glutathione and turmeric. Manage your blood sugar. So it's very similar to PCOS in that way. You have to be very strict. What happens is, just like how cancer grows with sugar, so do fibroids, which is just a benign tumor, and endometriosis, which is a tissue that's growing out of control, that's in, and it's in the wrong place in the body and also growing out of control. So blood sugar management is super important. So the same herbs that we mentioned before, gymnema, licorice, cinnamon, be careful with licorice. It could be helpful if you combine it with white peony, but just be careful. Inositol, we already mentioned chaste tree and vitamin D for progesterone levels. You could even add in a wild yam progesterone cream. That was very helpful for me when I was pregnant with my children. I never made enough progesterone. So apparently I've been like tanked for decades. Type A, high achiever, I guess. And so that was helpful for me. And I know that it helps a lot of clients with just increasing progesterone levels for these conditions. We already talked about some aromatase inhibiting foods. Chamomile is an herb or a tea that you can drink. Yerba Santa. There's a fruit called wanabana. It's like a green, spiky, spiny fruit from tropical regions. That's very helpful. It's also helpful for cancers. You can get the leaves like at a Mexican market, or the fruit. Another name for it is soursop. It's a very powerful herb. Resveratrol is an aromatase inhibitor, zinc, quercetin, fish oil, vitamin C. That's a list of nutrients and supplements. You want to increase methylation. So methylation is when you convert hormones to the form that can be flushed out of the body. So the usable form is one thing. So that's your estradiol, estrone, estriol. Those are your three main estrogens that your body uses for fertility and, you know, just regular operation of the female body. But methylation is when you need to get rid of those. And magnesium and glutathione and NAC can all help with that methylation process. And then, of course, keeping the liver flowing. So like you said before, milk thistle, dandelion root, things like that. For fibroids, there are fibrolytic enzymes which dissolve tumors and things like that, growths, that are important to use as part of the protocol. So that's like your natokinase, serrapeptase, bromelain, protease, papain, which is from papaya, amylase, lipase, fungal, pancreatin. And there's one more called C-Pros S, which is a new one that I just recently learned about. I haven't been able to find it in like a combination supplement, but it's something that people can look for. Lower your cortisol, ashwagandha. And then if you're having extreme bleeding, which you do with both of these conditions quite often, you can reduce that bleeding through two herbs, shepherd's purse and yarrow. And then red raspberry leaf and chromium might also be helpful in reducing that bleeding. We already talked a little bit about rebuilding your blood if you're anemic. It's very easy to become anemic with these conditions. Like I said, one person I know would lose up to 3 units of blood per month from fibroids. and a lot of heart palpitations, weakness, not pretty. Didn't feel very good. So you can rebuild your blood in addition to that Quintin water that we talked about. High doses of folate and vitamin B12. Those are important for red blood cell production. Herbal iron, like an herbal iron formula. I don't recommend like a synthetic iron. That'll make you very constipated, but there's many herbs that are high in iron, like most of the docs, like yellow dock, burdock. You can find a combination. Extra dark chocolate, we already talked about that. And then one of the stars of the show is a chlorophyll that's fat soluble. You can get that through standard process, and they're in these little pearls. But again, that's the same. So Quintin water is like the same mineral profile as blood and seawater, but chlorophyll is the same chemical structure as blood, with magnesium as the central molecule instead of iron. So it's a very easy conversion for the body to make from chlorophyll to blood. Another thing that could be helpful is a homeopathic remedy called Highland Cell Salt number 4, and that's ferrum phosphoricum 30x. So,
and this is for anemia.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have to rebuild the blood and restore what's lost. And if you don't want a transfusion,
right,
then that's one way that you can do it. Of course, you need to monitor your blood work.
Right.
So, and not just guess, because it can be pretty dangerous if you don't have enough blood volume. It can be, yeah, you can go into shock. So you got to be careful. The last condition, hormone imbalance, is menopause. So I already mentioned that all these symptoms of menopause that we think are normal, like hot flashes and night sweats and vaginal dryness and all that garbage, that's not normal. In other countries, a lot of times, you know, women don't even know that they've gone from menopause, from, you know, childbearing to menopause, other than they stop menstruating. They don't have all the same problems that we have here. And again, it's back to just how we take care of ourselves as women. We have all these environmental stressors. We run ourselves to a frazzle. We're burning the candle at both ends. We don't sleep. We do all those bad things that I told you I did as a not good patient. Right. You know, thinking I'm superwoman and I can do it all, and I can't. You end up paying the price. So what happens when you go into menopause is hormone production is primarily in the ovaries when you're in childbearing years, and then when you switch over to menopause, it's in the adrenals. And if you've exhausted your adrenals, then you're not going to be able to do it, and that's when you start having all these problems with hot flashes and night sweats and stuff where you're miserable. So if you don't want a bad menopause, then you need to take care of yourself ahead of time and not exhaust yourself. If you have exhausted yourself, then you have to focus on rebuilding your hormones and or rebuilding your adrenals so that you can make hormones. So you're going to have to implement everything that we've talked about and just be very intentional and purposeful about it. So if your adrenals are worn out, a lot of women complain about belly fat in menopause, like maybe they've never had belly fat before, and then all of a sudden they gain all this weight. It's because it's your body needing to make hormones from something, and your adrenals can't do it, so your body stores fat. And if you exercise even more to try to get rid of that belly fat, then it's going to exacerbate the problem and make it worse. So in this case, you have to start with just building the adrenals. Yes, you continue to exercise, but you don't do it to exhaustion.
In these troubling times, it's no secret that we are being censored. It's getting harder and harder to spread the truth. Facebook is throttling us, and we don't know how much longer we will be there. Here are a few things you can do to stay in touch with Deep Roots at Home. Firstly, sign up for our newsletter. Jackie sends out exclusive, important content to her readers. The link will be in the show notes. Number two, consider making Deep Roots at Home your homepage in your browser. Number three, print your favorite Deep Roots at Home articles and place them in a binder to have on hand in case of emergency. And finally, follow us on other social media channels. We are now on Telegram and Gab and soon Truth Social. Jackie's greatest desire is that God would be glorified through these dark times.
We already talked about how you need cholesterol to make hormones. During menopause, your cholesterol has to increase in order to produce hormones because your ovaries aren't doing it anymore. If you take statins to reduce your cholesterol, that's going to cause you to have aches and pains, especially in the joints. Statins cause erectile dysfunction in men as well. And then we know too that it contributes to like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, dementia, stuff like that, where you're drying out the brain. Cholesterol, truthfully, is only a risk for women if you have metabolic syndrome. So if you have high blood pressure and high blood sugar and high cholesterol, then it's going to be a problem. Then you can develop plaque. But if your blood pressure is in check and your blood sugar is in check, then your cholesterol going up during menopause is not a problem. That's at least my perspective and a lot of people within the natural healthcare community. Let's see. If you're not converting or metabolizing hormones, then that's going to lead to osteoporosis, osteopenia, vaginal dryness, all that stuff that we talked about. So apply everything that we talked about in the first part of, you know, our discussion, getting rid of all those stressors and reducing them as much as you can. And then continue other ways that you can reduce inflammation. Again, is that evening primrose oil. That may be helpful for some women. It's important to test first and see exactly what the balance is of your hormones in your body versus just throwing supplements at it, because you could exacerbate something else. Fish oil is fine for anybody to add. Licorice, this would be a case where women could probably tolerate licorice better. It's an anti-androgen and it has the estrogen-like qualities that are going to make your, you know, vaginal wall thicker and more moist, and you're not going to have trouble with that problem. And it's going to help build your bones. White peony, that contains a phytoestrogen that helps reduce hot flashes. Maca is another one that helps. Ashwagandha, which we already talked about, and that'll help with lowering cortisol levels and rebuilding the adrenals if you've stressed it out too much. Sometimes black cohosh helps, but you have to be careful because you can be flashing and be estrogen dominant, and then you add these estrogens to it and you can have like create a bigger problem for yourself. So you may need to be increasing progesterone and estrogen at the same time, depending on your situation. So it's always important to test and not get yourself way out of balance to where you're producing too much estrogens or you're supplementing with too many estrogenic things and then causing cancers or something like that. Dong Quai may be helpful. Passion flower, again, might be helpful. Let me see here. Insomnia, a lot of women complain about that. Maca, Dong Quai, astragalus, and chamomile can help with those. But again, you got to know what your hormone levels are before you start messing with that. If you're having, you know, mood problems, my mom was a little bit, I think she had a lot of anxiety when she went through menopause. Maca would have been a really good thing for her. St. John's wort could also be helpful. If you're having heart palpitations, maca might be helpful for that. But again, you want to test it, because if you have, you know, stuff going on with your heart and you have blood sugar issues and you have high cholesterol, then that's kind of like a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. So It's always important to test. So I keep saying test, 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 test. I use Direct Labs, and I can send you a link to that, Jenny.
Okay.
People can input a code for that. It's tied to me. It doesn't matter. You can use it if you want, but it's reduced pricing on lab tests. There may be some other places that you can order your own without having to input a code. I know Everlywell has some testing that people can do, but I like Direct Labs because they have a huge variety of tests that you can order. So what I would order for all of these different female conditions, and it's probably a good idea to do it yearly for women, at least a female hormone panel and a Dutch test hormone panel. I would do that annually just to kind of monitor what's going on and keep things in check before they get too far out of the way. Those are the first two. And then if you have thyroid issues or suspect that you might have thyroid issues, I would do a thyroid panel. We talked about gut health and bacterial overgrowth. So a gut health test would be a good idea. That just measures, you know, what are the different bacteria levels, good bacteria, bad bacteria, if you have parasites, that kind of thing. And then a food allergy test. So if you have any of these conditions, I would do like all of those tests. If you don't have any of the conditions that we talked about, then I would just do like your female hormone panel and Dutch test every month, every year, and just monitor it that way. The reason that you want to do the both blood and urine testing, so Dutch test is a urine test. The reason you want to do both is because the female hormone panel is going to tell you how much hormones, how much of each type of hormone your body is making. And the Dutch test is going to tell you how are you converting those hormones and which pathways are they going down. So we talked earlier about, you know, and I think in other podcasts that I've been on, we've talked about how there's some destructive pathways that you can metabolize hormones through and make conversions. And those can lead to cancers and, you know, tumors and growths and stuff that you don't want. The Dutch test is going to tell you how you're doing. Is it going down this beneficial pathway? Do you have the right percentage going down, you know, the CYP1A1 is what it's called. That's where you want primarily all of your hormones to go down. It's also going to tell you, are you methylating? So when you convert from estrogens like estrone, estradiol, estriol, when you convert from those to metabolites, that's called phase one metabolism. And then when you methylate and convert it to like a water soluble form that your body can excrete, that's phase two. And both of those phases have to be working in order for you to excrete these hormones and not just recycle them in the body. And Dutch testing helps tell you how you're doing with that. And then that can be regulated through herbs and through, you know, the other suggestions that I gave. But if there are people who need help with interpreting their tests and in coming up with the right supplementation balance and the right, you know, specific nutritional protocol for them, then they can order these tests and then contact me and send the results. And then I can work with them on how to get it regulated specifically for their body.
Absolutely.
Any questions?
I don't think so. This has been an overwhelming amount of information. Just fantastic. This has addressed so many issues that are so common to, we're in such a sick society that we just think some of these things are normal. Like you mentioned about menopause and how it's not normal to have hot flashes, but we all think, oh, that's just a part of menopause. It's not normal to have insomnia, but we just think, oh, well, waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning when I'm in menopause is normal. You know, mm-hmm. We're such a sick society that we just think these things are normal when if we're balanced, we wouldn't have these issues. So
exactly.
I know this is going to speak to a lot of our audience. I think that this is going to be really encouraging for many, many people and very, very helpful. And I would just encourage our audience to contact you with any questions that they have, and to get this testing done, because like you said, just trying to supplement with, throwing a supplement here, a supplement there to try to help with some of these things without knowing what our levels are can be dangerous, can be difficult. But being able to test and actually find out where you're at can give us so much more information as a starting point for beginning that healthful journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of times women hear like, oh, well, my friend took black cohosh and that took care of her hot flashes and she didn't have them anymore, so I'm going to do that. Well, if you're estrogen dominant and you take black cohosh, even though you may be low on estrogen going into menopause, if you're dominant, like right. You have that, then you do progesterone, then you can end up causing yourself some, bigger trouble. That's when you can end up having things, like tumors and fibroids and stuff growing.
What I kept hearing you talk about was that the variables, there's so many variables, so that if what may work for one person is not necessarily going to work from the other because of A, B, C, and D over here that's happening in their body that we have to really pay attention to come to the conclusion of what our own healthful journey should be, or what our own supplements should be. So right. I would encourage our listeners to contact you with their own particular struggles, with their own particular issues that they might have with female issues. This has been wonderful. You have given so much of your time and so much information to us today. I just want to thank you so much for pouring into us. I know that you love Jackie and you love her listeners, and you've really shown that today by the amount of information you've been willing to give us and the time that you've spent. And I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I do love Jackie. And I appreciate you reaching out to me. Oh, and I wanted to mention too that we're getting ready to launch mail-in blood analysis kits.
Okay.
So I will contact Jackie and let her know when those are available, but it should be in the next 1 to 2 weeks. I know she was interested in that, and I've talked about blood analysis on previous podcasts.
Sounds like another podcast we need to get you on for.
thank you.
So I will, I'll put in the show notes how to contact you. If you will send me that link or that code, I'll also put that in the show notes for the lab tests.
And okay.
Hopefully it'll be a blessing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Roots at Home podcast. We pray it has encouraged you in your walk with the Lord and as you serve your family. Could you do us a favor? If this has blessed you, could you help us spread the word by liking and sharing this podcast with your friends? And don't forget, we have lots of great links in the show notes that go along with today's podcast. See you next time.